All right, we'll give it just a second there. We're just booting up some slides here. Everybody doing okay? Any crossed arms? Any mother issues I need to know about? No. For those of you that weren't here for the first 2 hours, you probably think that I'm totally wacko, but that's only half true. All right, everybody doing okay? Judy, you okay? You comfortable? Your legs are crossed? That's okay. They're pointing towards me. I like that. And it is funny because my wife and I'm the world's worst, I'm just waiting for this to boot up here. I'm the world's worst eavesdropper. So if you're ever anywhere like within 50 feet of me at a restaurant, I'm probably going to be nosy and check it out. And it's so funny because over the years, as you learn more and more about nonverbal communications, you can absolutely follow conversations without hearing a word. I will tell you one thing that's very interesting, and I do this. I was doing it last night, as a matter of fact. Watch TV with it muted, completely muted, and just start to study and watch, and you'll be surprised at how right you are. Early on, you don't, but it's really kind of cool. All right, let's talk a little bit about the first impression, walking into your lobby, because that is critical. We mentioned earlier that you have 4 seconds. Now, the problem with your hospital is the first 4 seconds, Stephen, is usually when they're pulling into the parking lot. So they're judging you already on how capable, competent, and caring you are by your curb appeal, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Think about it. But that's the truth. That doesn't mean that you all have to go out and build million-dollar hospitals or whatever you want to do, but it does mean that you need to be cognizant of how your exterior is influencing your interior. It is absolutely true, because it's making a difference. Now, when it comes to the reception area, I have some basic guidelines. These are the things that I strive to accomplish. Number one, it's got to be warm and inviting. And you know what? That term means nothing. Your warmth, your inviting is different than mine. And I hate that stuff. But what I want to set is that when you walk in as a stranger, and I kind of do the mom test, when your mom walks into your hospital, what's the first thing she says? You know, does it smell? Oh, don't say that, right? You know, if that's what she's saying, we've got to work on that. But I want her to say, oh, it looks great in here. Yeah, it looks wonderful. You know, it feels good. All of those things, because, Hardeev, it's just like the restaurants. When you walk in, you instantly know whether or not it's going to work. Is it clean? Everybody, regardless of how old the hospital is, can have a clean hospital. For 5 years, I practiced in a hospital that was no bigger than this entire room. That place was spotless, Stephen. I cleaned that thing. I was on my hands and knees, man, stripping and waxing those floors. I did everything it took to make sure that place was spotless, smelled as good as it could smell. Now, later when we built our new hospital in 98, you know, we had systems, sophisticated systems to handle for air exchange and noise and so forth. But up until then, there's no excuse for having a dirty hospital. You know, I get this complaint a lot from vets. They'll call me up and they'll say, well, I don't have a $1 million hospital like you, so I can't do that. You can clean the floors. You can clean the windows. You can make sure the landscaping is neat and clipped and clean. You make sure the parking lot is swept. All these things require very little effort. So, no, it's not about having the $1 million hospital. It's literally about how do you take care of it. I'm not Brad Pitt, but I do everything in my power to look good, so I'm going to dress nicely if I can. Right? Same thing with them. Odor-free. You know, Gary, we laugh. We joke. But veterinary hospital is synonymous with stinks. I mean, you talk about it. I will meet people out in the world, and they will say, I'll say, I'm a veterinarian. How do you stand the smell? Have you ever had that before? Of course we have. How can you know, boy, yapping dogs all day long? They have negative environmental impression of a vet hospital. A vet hospital, noisy, stinky. And we have to change that. Because now, if we're going to charge 21st century prices, we have to deliver a different experience, all right? Is it organized? Again, Gary, this costs you nothing. Is it organized? Or when I walk in, do I see clutter? The first thing I see up there is records stacked up and papers strewn, you know, is it just unneat, untidy? Ooh, that drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. And I'm not a neat freak. I'm not a particularly neat person. I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, my wife and I constantly battle about at our house. But then, you know, when I go to my sister's house, well, you know, I mean, it's all relative, of course, but yeah, I mean, you know, we are very neat and tidy and clean. We want our house to be clean. You know, we've got kids and dogs and cats and all that stuff. I want my hospital. Do you have a logical movement flow? And this is really where I, as a consultant, I guess this is sort of my expertise. I think that I have studied and understand more about workflow ergonomics and appointment flow and just how things move in the space than maybe, than a lot of people. And when you walk in, Stephen, is it clear without signage and people going directing? Is it very natural that it flows? How does it work? And I'll show you some tips from our hospital that we've done. But does it make sense? So anybody walks in and they know kind of what to do, where to go, all right? And are things easily accessible? And of course, sometimes we talk about Americans with Disabilities Act, that was enacted many years ago. But not only that, but is it easy to get from the car into your hospital? Is it easy to get from your lobby into your exam room? Is it easy to get from one side of your lobby? Have you thought about these things? Are there physical impedances or barriers that maybe are disrupting the flow and don't make it as accessible? So like you've got all of your dog toys over here and your dog room is here and they have to go around. I don't know what the layout is, but how accessible is this stuff? So you want to be thinking about this as we move forward. All right, so let's talk a little bit about curb appeal. Because basically people are judging you based on your doors, windows, signage, paint. I mean, that's what they're looking at. They really don't care if you hired a fancy schmancy architect or if it makes some, artistic statement. What they do care about is that place neat? Does it look well kept? I was recently at a hospital and it won an award. And I was there just visiting and kind of giving some advice on another issue. And I stopped in, and as I was walking up to the main lobby, as you walk into the door, over here, the door molding, I guess you call it the door molding, was cracked, moldy. It just looked terrible, and it was just a little stretch, like right over here in this corner. Obviously, I had some water damage or something in this corner. But I'm going, this place is $1 million-plus hospital, and the first thing that I saw, and I'm sure that hundreds, if not thousands of clients noticed, is this thing looks like crud, And we're going to talk about tactics that you can use as an owner to avoid that sort of thing. But that totally disrupted it. For me, it was like, I got to tell you, that was the impression I had. Everything else was perfect. I mean, it was really cool. This guy had some super high-tech stuff in there. I mean, equipment that I could only dream of. But you know what I kept thinking about? I was like, yeah. I really walked away with not as positive a feeling as I probably would have. Simple thing. Sabotage that. Is your exterior signage, is it easily read and lit up well at night? You need to be driving by at night and say, how can I see instantly what that is? Do I know what business it is? And do I know, what the name and so forth? I mean, I'm not saying you have flashing neon because I'm against that. Again, we have a very simple road sign. But is it easy to read? Landscaping, neat and vibrant. I spend a lot, way too much money on landscaping, Stephen. I mean, thousands of dollars a year. Why? Because I know that people are driving by and judging me on my shrubbery and my trees and so forth. I mean, we have some beautiful trees. And this is my favorite time of year because stuff comes in bloom. But I put my money where I'm going to make it. And simple things like that. Vets often argue, oh, this doesn't make you money. Your people make you money. Absolutely. It's just when you combine the two, now you're almost an unstoppable force. You can still be successful and have cruddy landscaping and cruddy exterior. But what if you just spend a little time out there and really a little bit of money? It doesn't take a lot. Parking lot, is it lighted, well lit, especially at night? Many of you live in urban areas. I'm in the country. But in urban areas, so you may be open late at night. Is it safe? I mean, is it brightly lit? I know if I were in a big city in Indianapolis or wherever, and I had to go to a parking lot that was dimly lit, I might have reservations. I might, and again, it's that subconscious part of me. I don't want to really be there at 8 o'clock at night. Interestingly, I was in Indianapolis about a year ago, and I actually heard that because they were at discharge. The lady was talking about an appointment. She said, well, I need to do it after work. And they said, okay, we have a 7:30 appointment. Oh, not that late. And I don't know, Stephen, I don't know the particulars, but I just wondered because I had seen their parking lot. It was very inaccessible. I mean, the parking lot was like off to the side. The hospital's over here, and it was very poorly lit. And I just wondered. Have no way. Probably had nothing to do with that, but did it? Was it not inviting and warm at night? I don't know. And they could have changed that by simply adding some lights. Now, to prep for a good welcome experience, and we're going to talk more about this, you've got to know the schedule. We always talk about we're off schedule, we're behind schedule. Half time, we don't know our schedule. The night before, we have our huddles, and everybody looks at the next day. Everybody, even if you're not there, you're at least prepping us. And we're saying we've got this coming in, first thing in the morning or whatnot. We've alerted all of the staff. So who's here tomorrow morning? Okay, Amanda, you're in this morning. I just want to remind you, we've got Mrs. Smith coming in, and this will be her third visit with us for whatever, Kim's coming in with a cat, So that's how you start your day off. I have a little tip for you from Personal Trainer World. All right, if you want to run in the morning, if you want to do any type of physical activity, exercise in the morning, here's the best thing you can do. Get your clothes, your shoes, put them out the night before. You already have some accountability there, because now you got to walk past them in your bathroom. So I put all of my stuff in our bathroom, because when I get up in the morning, first thing I do is go to the restroom. And so I'm instantly reminded, there's running shoes, there's cycling shorts, whatever it is I'm going to do that day, you know, swimming, whatever. And they're right there. And then you have no excuse. So it's the same thing we do here. We get everything ready. We have, all of our records are computerized, so we would take all of our reports, which we'll talk more about in the medical history, but all these reports you're going to hear about later this afternoon are already attached to the patient file. So now, if you are a technician, you see that appointment first thing in the morning, those records are already prepped. They're already prepped. Does it happen every time? No, but it happens probably 80%+, because some days we're just crazy busy, which we'll talk about this afternoon on the leaving work on time. But are you prepping the night before? What I find is it's a mad dash to get out because you're already late. People are there at 7 o'clock and you closed at 6. And so again, that session on leaving work on time is really important, because how do you do this? How do you find the time? You have to create the time. And you can. You know, I often get this thing, you know, people are like, I don't see how you do it. How do you keep life balanced? You know, I mean, you practice, I mean, you travel, you have children, do you Iron Man? And Stephen, I don't really see the big deal, you know. What I've found, I think the difference between me and a lot of people that get frustrated with this stuff is I simply plan ahead, you know. I plan ahead my workout schedule, plan ahead time with my family. So, I mean, literally everything is kind of scheduled. And so, I don't mean that it's like rigid, freaky schedule, but it's like, you know, I know that tomorrow I'm going to do this. And when I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. I'm not like sitting on the couch going, hey man, give me another Budweiser. Yeah, alright, you see that car racing around? Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't do that. I mean, I'm with my kids, actively engaged, playing games, reading, outside, whatever. We're catching ladybugs the day before I left for this, right? I mean, I want to do things that are meaningful. So, that's how you schedule. You got 24 hours, man. That's a lot of time. And I have to have a lot of sleep. 8 to 9 hours a night. I mean, I have to have sleep, so I don't give up the sleep. Dean Karnazes, the ultra marathon man, you know, the guy who ran 300 miles without stopping, did 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 states. He's an amazing, amazing person. But I recently heard him speak. The biggest time waster of Americans is they get too much sleep. I'm sitting there going, he gets 4 hours of sleep a night. I'm not that person. I think it's unhealthy, but, you know, he's a freak of nature. You know, I'm just a scrawny little man. All right. So make sure that you've got everybody ready to go. And everybody, if you don't hear anything else, you have to know our rule of three. And all day long, you need to know the next three appointments by name, recognition, and presentation. And I know that you that have heard me speak before, I always say this rule. Because, Stephen, that's the foundation for staying on schedule. It's knowing what's coming up next. It's knowing how to plan ahead and triage and moving people. You know, it's just like chess. It's just like strategy. But too often what we do is we just kind of hit or miss, you know. Oh, gosh, I didn't know she was coming in vomiting. And meanwhile, you're my top tech and you're in on a puppy booster. You know, and so now I'm like, what do I do? And if I don't have the right staff, she waits, we get behind. I mean, you know, all bad things start from there. Okay, we need to know recognition. Again, we'll talk more about that as it comes in. Are you raising your hand or just stretching? Good, good. Go ahead. Oh, we do the morning of too. You're just a couple slides ahead of me. So yeah, absolutely. So the night before is just kind of prepping you for that day. And again, I don't want you to get to think that we all get around in a huddle and go, all right, everybody. You know, it's just two or three people sitting there, you know, kind of saying, all right, let's look at what we've got coming on and planning for the next day. It makes common sense, but the problem is we just don't do it consistently. When you do it, great things happen. I mean, I'm convinced of this. When we look ahead and, you know, oh, yeah, it's really busy. We'll be fine. We'll do okay. I mean, this past week, I have no reason why, but suddenly we have had a flu outbreak in my clinic again, all right? This is the second time this year. And I'm like, come on, guys. And I never get sick, so I'm just like, why are y'all sick? So we have been short 3 and 4 people all this past week. Stephen, nightmare city, right? I mean, I cannot help it. I mean, it's just, we're you know, we don't like our schedule. I mean, we're already scheduled. So, you know, by us planning ahead, by us looking at schedules, being very strategic about where we move people, it's really gone pretty well. You know, I mean, it's gone. I mean, because we're down key people. I mean, I'm down like key staff members. And all right. When they come in, I want them to see this. This is Chrissy. This is last Saturday. All right. I just took some pictures last Saturday. This is how I want her to look. Everybody that walks in your hospital should absolutely be staring just like this. This is a beautiful smile. I mean, if you're greeted with this, the chances, Gary, of them appreciating the value of what you're about to do is much, much greater. However, how many times have you guys been to the dentist before and you walk up, all right, and there's someone like this behind bulletproof glass, as I like to say, and they're like this. Right? You walk in. Any acknowledgement? Gary, have you ever had this experience? Have you ever had this experience? Walking to the doctor, you know, they don't even look at you. Don't you just want to go bang on the glass? Hey, I'm out here! Now, my dentist has really figured out a creative way of doing this. So, he still has the same bulletproof glass. So, because I've learned it, man, you know, if I am your client in any business, I am your best friend or your worst nightmare, depending on how you look at it. So, I've talked to Meths over the years. So, he made a concession to me. And he thought this was just clever. And I've seen this now because it's obviously in dental economics or something. But he has, when you fill out your little form, it says, very nice, please let us know if you have waited more than 15 minutes past your scheduled appointment. Great. So, how late am I going to be?
10 minutes.
At least, yeah, up to 15 minutes. Now, I was recently at a veterinary school. And I went into their lobby, as I always like to do. I'm not going to name the school. It's not that far from here, but it's not in Colorado. And so I went to the school, and down in the lobby where the people are waiting, they have a sign very similar to that, you know, a personalized sign made up. It says, if you have been waiting more than 30 minutes past your scheduled appointment. I went up to the lady. I said, hey, where's the hospital administrator? They go and bring the hospital. I said, I'm speaking to the students today at their assembly, and my big thing is kind of client communication, client service, that type of stuff, what I like to talk about. And I said, I'll tell you, you're sending the wrong message with your lobby. What do you mean? Instantly defensive, which I expect from academicians, you know. And so I said, you're telling me when I walk in I'm going to wait 30 minutes. I said, that's what your sign here says. Well, we did this because people would constantly pester us about when we get to see them. Do you hear? And that's almost verbatim what he said. Pester was the word that he did use, okay? Oh, your clients are pestering you because you're not holding up your end of the deal. Now, I have a big deal about staying on time, and we're going to talk more and more about this. But we don't have a wait at our hospital. And so 30 minutes is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you. See, you're so perceptive. You're just like me. Why do you have to even tell them? And we went into all of this, and it just went like, you know, because we're a university, we're a teaching university and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter. It's private business that I'm worried about. You know, you can't treat people like that. So if you know the people, you know your schedule, these types of things don't happen. It's knowing the schedule that keeps you ahead. You know, I would never do a race without knowing the course, you know, without knowing. And it's not like I've even ridden or run the whole course, but I want to know where the turns are, where the aid stations are, you know, when am I halfway points or quarter points or whatever it is I want to know for my own. You know what I'm saying? You just know the stuff that you're going to do. All right. Direct eye contact. Now, at this point, you should be paging your staff because as soon as somebody walks in, you don't want to delay. I recently was at a clinic, and what happened was you would come in, and the young lady would greet you, so she did a pretty good job with that, but then she would have you seated, and there was like this minute and a half gap before she would page anybody. Now, that's a minute and a half that they're already waiting, you know, so, and I never really understood. She said she was getting their records together, which I totally appreciate, but they should have already been together, right? Because now, that already is added, because let's face it, once she paged that person, you think they were like, Johnny on the spot, hello! Do you think that happened at this hospital? Probably not. It didn't. In fact, we found that most of these people waiting in the lobby 7 minutes. That was just one. We typically find about a 10-minute wait, just to be perfectly frank with you. I mean, it's unreal. And you need to time this. You need to do this yourself. You don't have to hire a consultant. Don't hire a consultant for this. Just get a stopwatch. You know, I buy them on Amazon.com. They're about $6 each. They're electronic. I still have my old original analog to go like the 60 minutes old ones. But make sure you're timing people when they walk in until they see an exam room, you know. My staff, I mean, we time. I'm very, very sensitive about time. Very, very sensitive. It's the only non-renewable resource we have. Think about it. Can't get it back, man. Steven, that's it. That minute's gone. Yes, ma'am. Less than 5 minutes. Yeah, I'll go ahead and get ahead of that. If you wait at our hospital 5 minutes or more, we give you a handout that says your time equals our money. And we give you $5 off that visit right there. If you wait more than 5 minutes. I don't care what it is. But I don't like to give away a lot of money. You know, that's the kind of opposite of business, right? Now, obviously, and we'll talk, I don't want to get too much into this because we have a whole hour on this about leaving work on time. So, if you're interested in like strategies and what to do when emergencies walk in, when people aren't on time for their appointments, and when people just, you know, show up out of the blue, I mean, if you want to talk about that, that's what we have a whole session about. So, do I know your name, reason why you're here? Do I have a clear visual field? And we're going to talk more about that in a second because I'll tell you right now, our receptionists stand 95% of the time. Because otherwise, you can't see people. If you're seated, it's already very dangerous, but you want to be able to see people. And if you're in an angle, it can be really hard. And we'll talk about visual field. Neat, organized countertops. Again, here's Chrissy. Most of the time, she's going to come from around that counter, unless we're crazy busy. But let's face it, most of the time, and we always have two receptionists, most of the time, you've got that second to walk around and go, hey, how are you doing? You've already called for me. You're just kind of, it's just that connection. I want people doing this as much as possible. Okay? And this is actually a real appointment that I took on Saturday. What you should do, Stephen, is walk into your hospital from your front door. We are creatures of habit. Stephen, I will guarantee you park in the same place. You show up to work about the same time. When you walk in, your staff could probably tell me exactly what you're going to do for about the first 5 minutes. It's okay. I don't have a problem with that. It's just that if you don't refresh your perspective, you never see what's going on in your lobby. So I will challenge you. What I do once a month, okay? I do it the first of each month. You can do it whenever you want. And then if I'm not there on the first, you know, it's like the first time I'm there. I park in a different parking space, and I walk in through our front lobby. Now, what I want to do is I also want you to do it at opening, lunchtime, and closing. Because you need to see how your hospital is throughout the day. Because in the morning, typically, Gary, it's okay. But then by lunchtime, sometimes, it looks like some bomb exploded up front. So let's make sure that we're watching how it looks. And at closing, because now you're getting prepped for the next day. Also, this is how you can spot challenges. Because you can say, all right, there's a pile of records over here. Why is that pile of records even being created? You know, why aren't they being filed? Or, you know, if you're assuming you have paper records. What flow can we now create so that at the end of the day, they don't have a bunch of records to file back? I just recently had that as a consulting job. I mean, the people were going, and then, you know, the receptionists were spending about 30 minutes each day filing back these records at the end of the day. And I was like, why aren't we doing this throughout the day? Well, because that's our pile for our file backs. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, give me another hole in the head, okay? It doesn't make any sense. You know, we could create opportunities throughout the day. We should do it each time. I mean, I don't know what your solution is going to be because you'll be unique. But that wasn't a good idea, I didn't think. Pet eye level is what I do. Now, do this only at opening, but I literally, and I know you guys have seen me speak on this before, but I literally get down on my hands and knees and look around. All right? Now, why do I do this? Why do I do this, Hardeep? Yeah, because that's what the dog, that's where they're marking, that's where little stuff is getting caught up, you know? And if you see, like, dogs always making a beeline towards one part of your lobby, you can bet there's something scented over there that, you know, they find very interesting. Remember, we're dealing with creatures that have 100,000 to maybe 1,000,000 times more sensitive sense of smell. So smell is a big, big deal, all right? And maybe they do want it to smell like an old wet dog, but, you know, I also don't want it to smell like an old tomcat either, all right? So that's a big, big deal. Analyze your client's line of sight. You should be walking in and saying, what do they see? All right? What do they see? Sit in the chairs, and I've got pictures to show you. I mean, be very, very critical and analytical. Few veterinarians, owners in particular, and associates ever actually go sit out and experience it. You know? They really don't experience what it's like to be a client. Mystery shoppers are great. If you have a really good trusted friend at your church or school or whatever, I mean, it's not a bad idea to have a mystery shopper come in. I mean, there are services that can do this for, you know, for a fee, but make sure. Analyze the sight, sounds, and smells. I mean, what does it smell like first thing in the morning? Does it smell like you need to open up all the doors? I mean, smells are a big, big deal. And make sure, our goal is every year we make over some part of our hospital. Now, our new hospital, you know, I don't even know that needs a new makeover. That's not even the idea. The idea is we're keeping it fresh. People like a work environment that's dynamic and ever-changing and contemporary. You know, if you're still practicing with that, you know, 1970s color scheme, you're not just suffering from a client perspective, but your staff is also, you know, they want it to be fresh. And they also like to see that you're doing things constantly to improve and make it better. A fresh paint of coat costs very little, very little. All right? And maybe we go overboard, but once a year we have one major makeover, you know? I mean, you can do whatever you want. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. She said, could it be something as simple as uniforms? Although, I would say that's separate, but that's a great start. Anything like this. Let me just mention a little bit about uniforms. If your people feel good, they'll act good, they'll be good. All right? Yeah. So I spend maybe more money on uniforms, which gets me back to budgeting. You know, now I can get into my real management stuff, but budgets are critical because see, now you know what you've got to spend. And if I go ahead and have an allocation for paint and makeover and for uniforms, you know, to me, Dan, that's money that's already spent. You know, so when we do our quarterly reviews of our budget, it's like, hey, we haven't spent any uniform allowance yet. You know, what's up? I heard there's like a chartreuse that looks good. You know, I mean, whatever. I want to keep them fresh. We literally turn over our uniforms about every 12 to 18 months. I mean, because we have the image consultant come in, and you know what? You can fault me like, well, that's a waste of money. Man, it is not, because these people feel like $1 million. You know, they look good, they feel good. You'll see, if you've been looking at these pictures, you've seen already, I've noticed 3 different uniforms, and none of these pictures are more than a couple of years old. So, I mean, you'll see pinks and blues and dark blues and teal. Yes. Printed? You mean like fun scrubs? We call them fun scrubs. Yeah, they're prints. I'm not a printed type guy. Saturday is our fun scrub day. So technicians on Saturdays can wear fun scrubs. Doctors still wear their regular stuff, but they can wear fun scrubs. So that's printed. And we like solid. We want uniformity. We want people to be able to instantly identify a staff member by their uniform. So it's very clear in our hospital, support staff and doctors. It's just... receptionists are the same. The only exceptions are our office manager and our practice manager, which are in business attire. So they dress, in fact, Joanne and Jean, I mean, dress very nicely like you guys, okay? I mean, they dress very nicely because they are administrators, managers. So when they're dealing with clients, typically on higher level issues, executive issues, complaints, things like that, we want them to be, you know, more, I don't know, different. And can I tell you the real reason why you put your practice manager, your office manager in street clothes? Can I tell you the real secret, the dirty secret, Bert? Well, they don't look better. I think they do, but that's not the reason. The reason is they're less inclined to go back there and help out and clean cages and get on the floor and all this stuff because they feel different. And the reason I like that is my practice manager does not have time to go back there and restrain, does not have time to go assist with a radiograph. My office manager is the same way. They've got about this much stuff done. And then, you know, I find that most practice managers are human resource managers. That's it. Because that's all they have time for. Because they're literally filling in holes. You know, they're short up front. You're short in the back. They're short over here. They're doing this and this and that. And they, you know, I mean, our practice manager, Joanne, and those of you that are practice managers know what I'm talking about. I mean, she is doing high-level stuff. I mean, you know, she's doing a lot of inventory, of course, but I mean, she's doing some very business stuff. I mean, she has a budget. You know, this is how my budget is administered, really. All right, blah, blah, blah. That's enough of that. Let's get some pictures here. All right, first visual impression. Again, this isn't to show you my hospital, but I want to show you the thought into how we do our hospital in different aspects. When we walk in, we wanted colors that were warm and complementary. So again, Amanda, you can agree or disagree. That's not what this is about. This is about when people walk in, I want to see something that looks very clean and professional. It's very neat. I mean, this is last Saturday. This is just a typical day. This is how I walked in. I just started taking pictures. You know, for us, there's a lot of little statements here. There's a fish tank. Interestingly, you're going to see more pictures of this fish tank. This is a clever little thing we did. Do you know what's on the other side of that fish tank? Practice manager's office. Right. So it's beautiful concealment because you really can't see her, but it's like the that glass, you know, that you can only see, one-way glass, one-way mirror. It's kind of like that, except for she can see out. It's just beautiful. And it's soothing. There's a waterfall here, so that gives us a little bit more ambiance. And we'll kind of go through it. Line of sight. When you walk in from the same view, if you turn to your right, again, we have a very clear egress, so you know that, I mean, you have two choices. You can go right or left. And we really don't, I don't care which way you go, dog or cat, whatever. I mean, you know, our rooms are just general, so I'm not a big into pigeonholing people. But there's a very clear path here, okay? Maybe this tree here or whatever, this plant is a little bigger, but I don't really mind that. I'll mention plants in a minute, why that's important. So basically you walk in. On either side, too, there's some foods, and we'll talk more about that in a second. There's Gina. All right. Natural lighting. when you look at the architects, so up above we have a big, and I should have gotten a picture, back over here all of this is open, so it's a big dome, it goes up about 22 feet, so there's natural lighting. And the architects will tell you that people in general look better, feel better when there's natural light. So as much windows as you can get. Now the funny thing is, I'm also a security freak, okay? So the only windows we have in our hospital are in our front. There are no other windows except for in our lobby. Why? Because I know it makes a huge impression on the people, but for the workers in the back, you know. And you can argue, but we have a black glass block all through the back because of a security issue. I am nervous as heck. So to bust into our hospital, you're going to have to break in our front door, which could happen, but, you know, you understand. I'm a nutcake about that. Natural lighting, again, from the experts, they just say it's warmth, compassionate, and it's living. You know, it's much better than sterile, harsh lights. Anybody can put in rooms. For seating, it's interesting because, you know, I've looked at this a lot. We, in our old hospital, and even originally in our hospital, we wound up having benches. And, you know, I started reading this stuff. And again, Stephen, with maybe you being the exception, but the average client now is 55 and above, typically female. All the experts are saying they want padded seating with arms because that helps them get up. And so benches are like absolutely, they're not even recommended for older people. And I don't mean that you have to be like 75 years old. We're talking about 50, 60, 70 years old. The other thing, too, you have to be aware is, I mean, our population is bigger. Our population is, you know, a third of us are obese. So hand rests can really help them get up and out. Okay, so benches can be difficult. Just, I would say, be aware of that. Be aware that this is something that people are talking about, seating. Okay, we want to be as close to the exam rooms as possible so that, and again, each hospital layout is going to be different, but you know, we want it to, you don't want to have to walk 20 feet. For example, if you were sitting over here, Hardeev, we wouldn't make you walk all the way across the lobby and go over there. And that's one of the dangers with like pigeonholing cat and dog sides, because what happens when they're all full, you know, and you're already on the cat side. I mean, so just be aware. And I'm not saying, I'm not passing judgment, no right or wrong. Just be aware. You don't want people walking a long distance. Yes, ma'am. Well, that depends. Now, are you into feng shui or not? So ours is facing south. I'm freaky about this stuff, man. I am freaky. Right. So for you, yeah, so then you want to get some blinds or something. So yep. See how brilliant? See, we think alike. That's really good. That's really good. Because, yeah. And actually, feng shui experts said that orienting towards the south is the way to go. But anyway, I don't believe in that stuff at all. I actually had a lady who came in. She was a non-client visitor. And she came in and she looked like a feng shui person. And she walks in, you know, and she's just like, oh, the energy here is so positive. She goes, you are so aligned. Everything is, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank you. She goes, and then she starts getting into all this other stuff, you know, because I didn't realize, but we've got a prime meridian near us. So anyway, I'm serious. I mean, she's telling me about the prime meridian. That's, I'm like, wow, you know, and I picked that spot just for that. I actually picked my lot. One of the reasons why I picked the lot, not only was because available and affordable at the time, but when I was walking on the land, I came across a skeleton of what appeared to be a cat. I still have that skull in my office. I'm like, this is a good sign. This cat came here to rest. It was looking for healing. We're not rational beings. We're rationalizing beings, right? So, again, sit in these chairs, Stephen. Sit there and say, what do I see? What do I feel? Okay? Make sure, and this did not show up, and I apologize. Make sure that these are pet-specific magazines and books. All of these books here, and I hate it, they are like the mutt, you know. They're all dog books, cat books, picture books. We have a really cool two books on celebrities and their pets. I just go to Barnes & Noble, you know, there's great big books that they have like up front for $6, and we just have tons of these out here. Your magazines, please read them first. This is a true story. 3 years ago, I was doing a consulting job. I had Dog Fancy magazine out in his lobby. What was the cover story? The 10 things that your vet should tell you but isn't kind of story. Basically, all the things that we were hiding from them. I'm like, whoa, okay, so I'm now in your lobby. I'm going, uh-huh, he does that, I'm going to be like, I'm out of here, you know? I mean, think about it. Somebody just gets cat fancy, dog fancy, they stick them out there. Be very, very careful. The only non-pet-specific magazine we have, and you're going to have to forgive me because my redheaded wife, again, I'm beat, is Oprah. We have Oprah up front. My wife loves her some Oprah, All right? So, Oprah magazine, but again, review it, because if Oprah ever did a thing like, you know, your sinister vet with the beard, what he's hiding, you know, then I want to have that in the article. So that... All right. We have a very simple kiosk here. We are all about healing. I mean, you know, and again, I'm not in California. I'm in podunk tobacco country in North Carolina. I mean, you know where I am. It's the Hicks. You know, I got more trailer parks than we do trailers. That was a little joke there. So, I mean, it's very, very poor. But I know that they want to feel good. So make sure the products that you're giving them. So we only use Shade Tree grown organic coffee. I personally don't drink coffee, but I make sure, because why is Shade Tree grown important? You need to have little, we have little things up there that explain why this is important. Because otherwise the deforestation of the Amazon is going on. They're basically clear cutting areas in Colombia and South America to make way to grow coffee. Because now we have coffee, naturally occurring coffee, and I've become very involved in this, grows in shaded areas. Okay? But they have developed hybrids of coffee beans that grow in direct sunlight. It's obviously much more efficient to do this. So they're clear-cutting it. And this is damaging the ecosystem of many birds down there, including one of my favorites, which are parrots. Okay? So now, if I'm going to say this, we have little laminated cards up there explaining why we only give you Shade Tree grown organic coffee. Bottle water. I'm a big fan of nuts, omega-3. So if you're going to do this, explain why I'm giving you walnuts, almonds. Okay? Because I am trying to show you that we are about health and healing. We are not about sodas and sugar. We are about things that make a difference. And this whole, you can say eco-business, whatever you want to call it, but this is a strong movement that is occurring. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Gore, all these people, I mean, they have resurrected their images based on environmentalism and conservation. I mean, this is a big deal. If we don't start to take care of the planet, we are absolutely doing the wrong thing. I want to have something for my kids and their kids and their kids. Somebody had a question. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and she's right. She goes, so we're afraid somebody's going to burn themselves somehow. You know, at this world, I cannot dummy-proof the world. So I'm rolling the dice. I had a university tell me this about 4 or 5 years ago when I offered, I said, you should do this in your lobby. If you're going to make people wait an hour, give them something to do and drink or whatever, you know. And they said the same thing. I'm like, whatever, you know, that's fine. I just don't live my life quite like that. Sure, it can happen. It may happen today. Well, I mean, well, they're closed now, so hopefully it didn't, or I would have been called by a lawyer. But, yeah, it's just, I'm willing to roll the dice on that one. You know. Yes, ma'am. I'm in love with your accent. I didn't hear a word. Australia, yeah, yeah. Right. So she says, yeah, the cool thing is people rarely, you know, they do that when it's just kind of junky foods, walnuts, almonds, nut raisins. I don't care. Feed your dog. Those are healthy. Before surgery? Yeah. Well, that's a whole different thing. And also, you know, that means they're waiting too long, too. Okay. That's another issue. Yeah. Australians, Kiwis, man, their accents, you know, it's just to die for. You know, it's great. Yes. Flat screens. Yes. Get into that. Yep. So up here we have a simple a computer screen. It's a little flat screen. It's a 21 inch or something like that. And it has a PowerPoint presentation just looping that gives you a virtual tour of our hospital. And we kind of do update things. It's like if there's something coming up, you know, we like let it stick up there for 15, 20 seconds. It just rotates through. It's cheap. So there's actually a computer down in here. You know, it's not networked or anything. I mean, we could, but... Yeah, I don't want to, I'm not an entertainment center. So he says, what about, yeah, I don't want videos in my hospital. I don't want DVDs in my hospital. I don't want a television in my hospital. Because that is absolutely distracting. You know, again, the worst thing I think you can do is to have a video playing up front. It's like, you know, I want human connection. I don't want them waiting up there long enough to watch a 5-minute thing. Because that's already defeated the purpose of it. And I sure as heck don't want them to go, hi, we've just seen your new puppy. And I'd like for you to watch this 20-minute video on raising your new puppy. I mean, I'm like, wow, that is so against what I'm all about. It may work great, you know, I'm not... It does. And the other thing, too, boy, I'll probably get in all kind of trouble. You know, if they're ad heavy, it sends the wrong message. You know, now it's, don't you hate going to the movie now? I'm covering this up because I'm being recorded. Don't you hate going to the movie now and they have daggum commercials before the movie? I mean, I absolutely don't like this part. You know, we're starting to go late now to skip all this garbage. So, anyway. And that's why I really support all of these things. So, sorry, we had a little technical snafu there. Granola bars, again, information about the hospital. This is only, quite honestly, it's their provide movement. It's just, they're going up, they're getting a cup of coffee. Oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, it's more dynamic. We used to just have a information board, but see now we put lost and found stuff. We put pictures. We do some cool stuff with it. Yes. Oh, the student becomes the teacher. She says, what about when they're waiting for x-rays and blood tests and all that stuff? That's when this stuff kicks in. Yeah. In fact, I have this whole talk on the appointment workflow, and that's when you take them up front, and that's when you offer them this stuff. Because this isn't waiting for your annual examination. And that's a great point. And thank you for bringing that up. But this stuff kicks in more when we're doing x-rays. We've got to wait on your blood test or whatever. Because now, how can I do an x-ray any faster? We have digital, and it's still going to take 10, 15 minutes, right? So let's go get you a cup of coffee, or whatever. Okay? Great. Thank you very much. Retail area. I'm not a big retail person. So we got creative. I know this has been written up. I think we've got some kind of crazy award for it. I co-designed this, although I really should not take all the credit. I guess I should take 99% of the credit with the architect. But I had this vision of a wedding cake. And that's what they call them now. They're called wedding cake displays. And actually, they've been our architect, John Knapp, actually went out and started making these. But it's a really efficient use because you get full 360 circular of it for small items. And they're on wheels, Stephen, so you can move them around. So like we do our puppy classes in the evenings, we just shove it out. And now we've opened up this huge space. So it's kind of cool for open house. So it's not a static display. It can be moved around. Again, we have one retail board here. The thing I would caution you about, when you do this stuff, make sure that the prices are on it. I mean, people, if they go up to your collar and they pick up a collar and it's really cute, and there's no price on it, what do? Must be what? Because it's at the vet's office, right? So put the price on it. All of a sudden, I had this lady, I kid you not, 2 weeks ago, she came in and I said, oh, I love your collar. She goes, I got it up front. And I go, I know. And she goes, yeah. He goes, you guys are the same price as Walmart on this stuff. Because we use the lupine, so whatever you want to do. So, I think it's kind of good. Make sure prices are on it. I only carry, you can see a smattering, but you can see a lot of Kong stuff, Nylabones. I only use things I believe in. You can agree or disagree. I could care less, the branding. Who cares? But I only do things that promote some aspect of health. So I'm not big into retail. Although there's a place for it. Yes, sir. Sorry, repeat that. What would be the best stuff to put the dog? Yeah, and you see all down here, these are fluffy type things. Yeah, that's cool. Like toys I want them to interact with. Because we want people to roll them around. Huh? Wow, you have just jinxed me. She says, don't we have a problem with dogs urinating? I have never had that happen with that. This stuff. Yeah. Plants can be an issue. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But plants can be an issue for sure. That's what you got to investigate. But this is a small price to pay, this type of stuff. So you can get it up, whatever. You can see we only have two beds. This, interestingly, it's kind of funny that you brought that up. These are like open. These are like Kongs that people can hold and touch. So so down in the basket, because we want to be able to say, this is this is how you use the hole. Yeah, because when they're in the package, you got two choices. You break them out or you can't effectively show them. So I don't care if people mouth it or whatever. I mean, we wipe it off, but it's not like they go play with it very much. It's just you pick it up, and when people can touch and feel things, they purchase more. It's a good point, though. Yeah, and you may be onto something there too. You really may be. I like your idea. Food displays. We've got a Hills guy in here. Crud. All right, I have to cover up the microphone again. thank you, Hills, for the displays, but we did our own. We put our own signage on it. Because we wanted to make sure that people understood what we were selling here. And you can see there's lots of CD, lots of science diet products there. But we went ahead and called it prescription diets, weight management, and all this stuff. So we wanted people to understand that if you go over here, this is all weight management stuff. This is over here, prescription diets. Okay? We wanted people to understand that there were differences. So you can do this or whatever. I'm sure that Asa will not have any problem with that. Main lobby, rear wall, this is the part that really sparks my interest because when I walk in, I want to see what your rear wall looks like, I want it to make sure you're saying the things right. We have all these cool pictures, and interestingly, this was 2 years ago. We wound up paying this art company, and they came in, and they just did a fantastic job. It really didn't cost us that much, Stephen, but they selected all of these cool things, and we basically said we wanted physical activity with dogs and cats and cute things. You know, we wanted like the cutesy and then the physical activity, because those are the two things we wanted to, that was our message. And they just did a great job selecting and putting it out there. So, and all these are reprints, so it's not like we have original artwork. You can just see here, kind of laid out there. Countertop retail. This is the only thing we have on our countertop. We believe in giving books and things like that, so these are very inexpensive. So we have a cat basket and a dog basket. And these are those last second items, you know, like at the grocery store, you know, how like the stuff. Same thing here. So we sell a lot of these little books and little cat toys and things like that, just because we go, oh, this is so great. You know, and these are inexpensive items. It's $5. So people are instantly, you know, gonna grab that and not be, worried about the thing. Good visual fields here. We had to get creative, because these are, this is 36 and this is 42 inches. 42 inches is standing height. 36 is seated. You must have 36 inch countertops accessible according to ADA regulations, but 42 can be everywhere else. So if you have 42 inches, it forces people into a standing posture. But we also realized that they had to work at some time, so we wanted some privacy. So we have two on either side. This is the Starship Enterprise command deck, by the way. And we simply have this. So they can have some privacy if they need it. The only problem here is if they're seated, you've totally cut off your entire visual field, so this is another reason why they must be standing. I'm a big, big fan. And I'll be glad to talk to you more about why they should be standing. Yeah. Live plants. If you're going to have plants, do not have fake plants. My own personal pet peeve. Because what are you saying? Can't keep a plant alive. How are we going to keep your pet alive? I believe it is sending a subtle subconscious message. You can agree or disagree, but there's something different. I have an exercise room where I spend a lot of time, and I brought in live plants 2 years ago, Stephen, and bless you, and it just makes it feel much more alive. It feels better. Live plants. I'm a big, big fan of live plants. Then it requires that you have to keep them alive, okay? So you have to have systems in place where somebody's assigned to doing this, and you've got to rotate, make sure that you water them and take care of them. Talk with a good, what do you call the people that do plants, you know, the plant store people?
Right.
Yeah, those people. Talk to those people and say, this is our environment. They came in, you know, they said these plants will thrive and do well and whatnot. I can't tell you a thing about the plants. Don't know. I'm not a plant person. Botanist or whatever. I'm not that. Okay. I like live plants. Just be aware. We have air ionizers everywhere. Coolest thing ever. I was speaking at this international thing in Austria a couple of weeks ago, and we walk in, and my wife and I took an afternoon at the spa together, which is always a great thing to do. And it was so cool, because in each of the little rooms and everywhere they had ionizers, and I'm a big fan of this. Have you ever smelt the air after a thunderstorm, rainstorm? Smells fresh, spring fresh. That's ionized air. That's lightning strike, and it ionizes the air. Again, it just smells good, feels good, and we tell people what it is. I mean, we say, hey, you know, we have a little thing on top of them. If you're going to have this stuff, make a little laminate card explaining what it is. I will guarantee you, I've sold more sharper image ionizers than anybody, because clients come and think, oh, this smells so great, and you're so good. It's a vet hospital. Of course, that's not the only reason we smell good, but we use scented oils, okay? Everybody knows that trick by now, I'm sure. Overhead music. I use an old laptop that's running iTunes, and I have a mix. And I have a mix of classical and contemporary and smooth jazz. So you might hear Bach and then 07 and then Spyro Gyra, you know? But you want to be careful. I don't like radio. I don't like radio in the overhead. You want to be real careful, like with top 40 or country. I mean, are you a country state? You know, is that what kind of vet you are? So you want stuff that's kind of backgroundy, you know, kind of, but you also want it hip too. People don't want to come in and just hear classical music, you know. They want also, you know, kind of cool. So have some contemporary artists. Air, you know, the French band Air. Of course, probably some of you do, but you know, these contemporary artists that make really cool electronic music that's just perfect for background. Okay, you know Air, right? You're shaking your head. Yeah, it's good. Okay, defined paging and overhead terminology. I will go into hospitals and it'll go like this. We have Ms. Smith here for her appointment this morning. Bum, bum. May I have a technician, please? I have Mrs. Smith here for her annual wellness examination. Bum, bum. Yeah, I need a tech up front. We've got our next appointment here. It's the same hospital. So do you have clearly defined? I mean, what do you say? Because guess what? Everybody hears that. So I want to make sure that you have a script and you say, these are the terms we use, this is what we say and when we say it. Because I want it to be the same over and over and over again. For example, we don't say appointment or whatever, we say annual wellness exam. Alright? She's here for, Mrs. Smith is here with Scooter if it's a sick patient, because we don't want to like say he's vomiting or diarrhea. Right? So, beep beep, may I have a technician please? We have Scooter Smith here for her annual wellness exam. Beep beep, may I have a technician please? We have Scooter Smith here for her appointment. Again, that's a sick appointment. So that's, that we know. So I can tell you instantly just from listening overhead who it is. Now you've got to know the schedule, but you get the point. People just don't do this. Up front, I didn't mention this and I should have, I don't have the pictures either. Client photos. We ask people to bring in pictures of their pets. So just make a photo album, you know, and just put them up front. They love it. So in those books up front, there were actually a couple of picture albums. And you just stuff them in there, right? But you have to make sure they don't get ratty, because they do get kind of torn after some time in the pictures. So you've got to kind of upkeep. Yes? Beautiful. So they actually do a calendar for charity. I love it. I love it. One of the things that we're experimenting with right now is setting up a YouTube and a Flickr site for our clients to be able to do this online. I got some really cool ideas that we'll be rolling out in the next month or so. So, and make sure, I mean, if YouTube and Flickr and you're wondering what movie or radio station is he listening to, we want to get up to speed. Yes, ma'am. How do you, so she says they avoid it because it's strategy. How do you tell somebody? Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just afraid my staff wouldn't be sitting here watching for the eye. They'd be like doing 100 other things. Yeah. Yeah, and they may be. So just whatever works for you. For us, it just, you know, the overhead page is... Do I think it's distracting? No, I think it's just how we have to alert people to do it. Because we have so many, I mean, you know, not that we have a huge staff, we have 22, you know, not counting doctors and office manager and practice manager, but yeah, they're just all over the place. So it's the only way efficiently for us to get it. Let me just finish up here real quick. We have smile books and success books, and these are simply picture books that simply show dentals before and after, and we have like some funny stories about like dogs that were bitten by copperheads, which is common in our area, and other things. So it's like a success book. So if you don't have that, Stephen, it's really easy to do. Just take some pictures of the next cool case that comes in. We recently just added one dog that ate a stack of quarters. It added like 5 quarters in there. So you had to do surgery, and it was really great outcome, but it's cool x-ray. You know what I'm saying? And people love to flip through this and go, oh, wow. And then they say, wow, these guys are like super high-tech surgeons. You know, just looks cool. Award wall. So if your staff gets an award, if your hospital gets an award, we treated the Dixie Chicks dog or whatever, you know, and they give you a signed photo, you put that... up. And we have a whole wall dedicated to this back, and you can't see it. It's down in a hallway, and it's just kind of off, but, you know, we show people that. And, of course, we have our other, like, AHA and National Practice of Excellence and the big awards up front, right when you walk in. I don't think I have a picture of that. If you're on the telephone and somebody walks in, you're not off the hook for greeting. So a typical way we do it is just a, okay, you're on the phone, you're listening, you're talking, I'll be right with you. Make sure that you're teaching people to do that. Because what they'll say is, I'm on the phone, I'm not going to greet you. And also what you do is you kind of go, that way you can direct them. If you want them to sit over there, or whatever you want to do, just make eye contact, make a smile. I mean, this is Chrissy. Actually, I caught her and she's mad at me because she does not like this picture. But this is actually her doing it when I, you know, we were up front last Saturday. That's her doing it. Donna coming up again. These postures are not fake. This is how, you know, you can see she's this is what we do. Warm smile. There's Angie just greeting somebody. Hey, how you doing? Escorting them into the exam room. Again, make sure that you're not telling people go into exam room 4 or whatever. I can't imagine anybody ever doing that. We'll talk more about this, but the technician and the receptionist doing a pass off together. Again, that's really, really important as far as how we do our appointment closure for the appointment. Again, as we finish up here, Asa, specific lists. My wife's big pet peeve is lost and found pets. We get more new clients. We will absolutely take your client if you have a lost pet, because we do this. You call us and you say, hey, I just want to let you know we lost our Labrador Retriever or whatever. We call them back the next day, everybody. And this, it'll play out like this, Gary, all the time. Gosh, you know, we did find Scooter. I can't believe you're the only place to call me back. And guess where they're going the next time? I'm not saying every time, Leslie, but... that sure would make me think. If my vet didn't call me back and some stranger vet hospital, so you need to have lists of these, you need to have protocols in place, and you act on them. Special orders, they order a special drug or a food. There's nothing worse than people walking into a hospital. I had a lady, it was UD, I don't know, was there a shortage of UD or something? Because that's what they were told. And we had UD on our shelves. And so basically the lady had special ordered it from their veterinarian, I don't know what happened. Somehow it never shows up or whatever. She calls our hospital. Do you have UD? Yes, we do have some UD. She came down and got it. And she's like, yeah, I heard it was a national back order. And we're like, well, we got about four cases. So, you know, and again, maybe it's a volume thing. I'm not saying, but they missed a special order. Plain and simple, Stephen. They missed a special order, right? Because it's a smaller clinic. They probably don't stock a lot of UD. They missed it. This lady was ticked off. And guess what she asked? What do you think? Next, she goes, are y'all taking new clients? And, you know, because I don't know why they asked that question. Of course we're taking new clients. Bring your family. I like what I'm trying to say to people. So I want to create a mood that's commiserate with that. And then when you have that attitude, when you say, you know, no, I control this. It doesn't control me. Then everything changes. And again, we're going to get into a little bit more of that later on this afternoon. Thank you guys so much for putting up with me this morning. 2 o'clock, we got leaving work on time. 3 o'clock, medical history, really sort of how you do this. And then 4 o'clock, the fun one, dealing with the dirty stuff, people say. Thank you guys again.